just heard an original instrumental written by pedal steel player Doug Dietrich called Hot Licks and Dirty Tricks. Doug recorded it 40 years ago in 1980 and was thinking about calling it Stainless Steel, but that name was already taken. The sound engineer for the recording, Jim Evans, just called it Hot Licks and Dirty Tricks, and the name stuck. The song also featured Carl Keyes on the fiddle, who is a great mentor for Doug. Hi, it's Steve Todd. In the next hour, you'll be hearing part two of the musician's FAQ interview with Doug Dietrich. In part one, we covered Doug's childhood years and being introduced to the pedal steel, his early start in bands such as the Rhythm Ramblers, Nashville Express, and the Galaxies, playing with recording artist Joyce Simone, and being part of several bands such as Sunrise, which continues to this day. Today's show has two broad topics, his long relationship with the Weber family and the Commercial Tavern, and Doug's long association with the Barn Dance. Let's check in with Doug as he reminisces about the Weber family. So the next band you listed here is Smoky Mountaineer. So that's late 80s. So you're already in Sunrise for 4 years, I guess?
And I'm still in Sunrise, yep. And went throughout. But one Sunday morning, Smoky phoned up 10 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
And I had played a few jobs filling in.
Yep.
They had a steel player before that. And the Mike Weber,
yep.
Smoky's singer. You know, well,
I played with Mike just once. He filled in for Robert as well. That couldn't make it to Diane's dance. So Mike filled in once.
Yeah, so he played with his dad a little bit before he went on the road with Joe Firth.
Okay, yeah.
But then it was Sue Weber and Smokey, and they had a steel player.
Yeah.
It was just a trio. They didn't have drums back then. So I had helped him out a couple times, but he phoned on 10 o'clock Sunday morning and said, "My guy quit last night. Could you help me out whenever you're free?" And I wasn't going to quit my other band, but I said, sure. So I ended up playing with him quite a bit for the next 5 years. Even through to 96 when Paul Weber bought the Commercial Tavern.
Okay.
Initially, his band was playing there, but then he hired Smoky Mountaineers, and I was playing with them when I could out there. And then Paul would hire me to play with his band.
Oh, that's great. Good
and
for
it
you.
All kind of led in together.
And that, again, that's also just a standard traditional country, too, right?
Yes.
Same stuff?
Yeah, very traditional country.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's what I played, other than, a little bit of rock and roll with some bands. And with the Galaxies, I'd get up and play bass, and we do some 50s and 60s rock.
Okay, yeah.
Even going back to the trio, the Nashville Express, I played some bass, as I told you before, but I also played some lead guitar. We did a little bit of 50s. 60s and Johnny Cash.
Oh, okay, yeah, great.
But I was never much of a lead guitar player. I didn't spend the time in that. Steel was my instrument.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to Smoky Mountaineers, we did quite a bit of work, and then it got into the hotel, and I became like a member of the family.
Oh, I bet,
Smoky even said, "Here's my daughter, and here's my..." I wish he was my son, but it was just really close.
Yeah.
And Paul, especially Paul, and I are very close now, just like, say, brothers from another mother type thing.
And so many people that I've interviewed have just said nothing but praise for the Maryhill Commercial Tavern, like how well they've treated people and how hard he's done, he's worked to get that place to where it is now. So
And it was really, he got it in 96, and it was a fairly happening place for a while.
Yeah.
But he went through the smoking ban when that was introduced.
Yeah,
the drinking and driving is heard of.
Yeah, like you have to drive there. It's just the same thing with a lot of the other small town taverns. It's just, it was hard to keep them open.
It used to be great. You could go to St. Clemens, Wellesley, Linwood, all over the place and get a Saturday night band playing in the hotel. But it just isn't like that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But Paul's worked at it, and it's been great. It's like a home away from home for music for me.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been there a lot.
I managed to find some old footage of Doug playing at the Commercial with Paul Weber and Top Hand. Here they are with "I Saw the Light." I believe this is from 2010.
Thank you.
return to our conversation with Doug Dietrich as he reminisces about Paul Weber and the Commercial Tavern in Maryhill.
We did some barn dance shows there and different things. And I got an opportunity to play with some different people filling in with Paul's band because he would have different guests.
Okay.
So
that's great.
It's always been a great place.
Yep.
So Smoky Mountaineers, that relationship, Smoky passed on. I think probably, if I may say this, the most emotional night I ever had playing was a weekend where I was playing with Paul Weber's band.
Okay.
But on the Friday night, Smokey was there, and he had been sick, but he got up and did two or three songs. I think he actually sat down. He was always pretty proud. He would have to stand up and sing, but I think he maybe sat down that night. But he did his two or three songs. And as it turned out, that was the last time I saw him. On the Saturday, I went there. Wife and I went early, had supper, and I was just going to tune up and be ready to play. And they said, Paul isn't here yet. He's at the hospital. I thought, oh, no. And sure enough, Smokey had passed away.
Oh, really?
So got word, and I thought, well, we won't be playing, but I'm going to wait because they said Paul was coming back to the hotel. So he came, and, you know, there's a lot of tears being shed, obviously, because Smokey had gone into the hospital that day and passed away.
And everybody else in the room would have known Smokey, too, right? Like it was all...
Pretty much, because it's like a family.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Very much. I remember a friend of Larry Mercy's who I had played... recorded a wedding song with Larry to play at this guy's wedding.
Yep.
So I didn't know him real well, but he came and talked to me because he could tell I was pretty upset.
Yep.
And sitting at the table, Paul came in and we talked and, you know, all the normal things at a time like that. But he says, yeah, we're going to play. And I thought, how can he do that?
Yeah.
But we went up on stage and I don't remember the first song he sang, but it was one that Smokey would always sing.
Yeah.
And he just, for the first, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour, never talked between songs, just went one to the other, all songs that Smokey did.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Like a tribute to his dad.
Yeah. And then one that Smokey did was the laughing song, which is just a crazy, basically he laughs through the whole song, but people loved it. He was kind of known for it. And Paul sang that. And then he said to me, now that's the last time I'll ever sing that song. You know, that was his final tribute.
Wow, okay.
But how he did it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm even getting emotional.
Yeah, no, it's music to me has been therapy too. Like, so I've often turned to music for when you're in those points, right? So,
but playing with the Webers is always somewhat emotional because I think they put more into their singing than most people do. It's just they feel a song and they really sing it.
Oh, yeah.
And as a backup musician, that's what's fun to play with because you get into that emotion.
For sure. What I like about them too is I've gone to the... kind of like the open jam, or it's almost like an open mic
where
you get up just to watch how they, you know, so maybe somebody's never sung a song before, or they're, you know, whether they can sing in tune or they don't know the words, they treat them like they're a celebrity and make them feel welcome. And so
I've gone out and played with that once in a while, but
I've seen it. It's been pretty good. I've gone there right when it started and there's already 8 guitar cases open, so I don't even take my stuff out of the car. You know, if I waited right till the end, I might get up on stage. But there's so many people.
I showed you that guitar table that somebody made, and I said it was Butch Shelter that made it. Betty Shelter is out there all the time for that. You may have seen her that night, probably. That's where she first started doing her singing.
Okay.
She does quite a bit. She'll go out and sing for at a nursing home or something
that's
that
great.
Now.
Yeah.
It's helped a lot of people get started and not be afraid to go up on stage.
Yeah, that's what you need. And then, you know, everybody claps as soon as you start singing. Everybody kind of starts clapping to encourage you. So
They make a fun night of it. If he could have 3 nights a week like that, it'd be good, but he can't get those kind of crowds
when
you have a cover charge.
Hopefully it picks up again.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
So, were you still playing a little bit with Paul Weber?
Yes, right. Through. In fact, my last job before COVID on Saturday night was at Maryhill and was Paul and Pete Settle on drums, who's from Maryhill. Shane Guze and myself.
Good for you.
Okay. Yeah, we had a great night.
I bet.
We were just starting to hear about this virus thing a little. And that was the last job I played until the one in August that I said, the one Purple Hill show.
Okay.
And we will again, hopefully.
Yep.
And Paul's been on a lot of barn dance shows, too.
You're going to hear Doug accompanying Eric Traplin on one of Eric's songs called Killin' Time. Eric Traplin is a very well-known children's entertainer in Waterloo Region and beyond. And if you've never seen one of his live shows, Eric captivates young audiences, but really audiences of all ages, and encourages participation at his fun-filled, high-energy children's concerts. Along with his guitar, he adds harmonica and digital enhancements to play many musical styles, including his own originals and traditional children's songs. So here's Eric Traplin with Killin' Time, accompanied by Doug Dietrich on pedal steel.
Killin' time by the fire, watching it burn down into embers. The coals grown dim, it reminds me of us, how our love burned so bright, then died like my fire died on this cold, cold night. We had it so good, just you and I. We loved so well, we loved so much. Then somehow or other, reminds me of us, how our love burned so bright and died like my fire died on this cold, cold night. Took till nothing remained. Now there's no more, no more you and I. Killing time by the fire, watching it burn down into ember. Reminds me of us, how our love burned so bright, then died like my fire died on this cold, cold night. Then died like my fire died on this cold, cold night.
Hi, I'm Mike Curley from Cambridge, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the barn dance? Now, is this the same barn dance that the Haywoods
yes.
were involved with? Okay,
yeah.
And you became part of the main house band then, I guess?
Yes.
Okay.
Initially, I started in the house band. In the late 90s, the music director for the show, it was sort of resurrected from the original barn dance shows were done.
Yep.
Barn dance started in the late 30s.
Oh, wow.
And was
okay.
on radio
yep.
and okay. then some TV shows in Wingham, then kind of died out.
Yep.
When TV really became big and there was other forms of entertainment, I guess it died out in Wingham.
Yep.
But then in the mid-90s, Earl Haywood largely spearheaded getting a new Barn Dance Society and starting to do the shows again. So they used to hire a music director for 1 year at a time. And in the late 90s, Larry Mercy was the music director. Wow. And Larry had got his start on the Barn Dance when he was just a teenager, many years before. He wondered if I could play steel in the band. And I remember I was working at night at Mutual Life, and he phoned me in my office. And I said, well, I'm interested. I'd love to play with you, Larry, for the band. And I knew a bit about the Barn Dance. But I said, have you got a lot of shows booked or what? And he gave me about six dates, maybe, and I couldn't do any of them because I was booked already.
Yeah, because if you're already in...
Yeah, this was late 90s.
Okay.
So it was the Sunrise Band mostly at that time.
So you're already gigging up.
Yeah, it just happened whenever he picked them. And at that time, the Barn Dance tended to do Saturday night, like the original one was Saturday night show and then a dance afterwards. And that's what they were pushing. And when they first started up again with these new type of shows, they could do that. And they would go various places and have the dance afterwards. So it was Saturday nights, and that's usually when I was booked. And that was in the heyday of dances still, too. So I couldn't do it. But then in the year 2000, or maybe the late 1999, Wayne Otterbein was involved on the board of this Barn Dance. And he phoned me and wondered if I would join the band. And so that time I did. And in fact, he booked the Sunrise Band for one of the shows that were coming up too. So we played that, and halfway through that summer they asked me to be music director. So I said and that meant I had to be on the board of directors too, so we go to monthly meetings. We have the society and run it that way.
And is this all up in Wingham then, if you're commuting?
It was based in Wingham.
Going back and forth.
And they had a museum related to the Barn Dance in Wingham, too.
Yeah. So what is a music director? Are you scheduling all of the upcoming shows and just getting just tons of organizing a future?
Yeah, it's a lot of work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I did play in the band. So initially I played in one band called the Millennium Cowboys at that time, because it was the year 2000. And the other band was the original Barn Dance band. And there was that's who Earl Haywood would sing with, and Ernie King was around at that time, too.
Okay.
A lot of the originals were still present. So I did that initially. But then when I became music director, I had to book performers for the shows, get songs from them, rehearse the band, you know, do all the prep work, and then play the shows, too. I just played with one band, not two of them. But then Wayne Otterbein passed away a few years later, and I ended up doing show manager job, which he used to do. So he used to go out marketing the show and booking the venues. And then he would just say, okay, now here's where there's a show, and, you know, book some guests and stuff like that.
Okay.
And we'd work with the people that would be booking the show. They might say, oh, I'd like to have Larry Mercy on my show, or certain people. You know, we'd work with them. But once Wayne passed away, I said I wouldn't mind just taking over his role too, because it'd be easier to be there right from the go.
Yeah, for
the
sure.
Beginning, when they say, yeah, we want to have a show, and let's pick a date, let's pick a venue, talk about guests, and then I carry it right through to playing the job.
Yeah.
Playing the job is probably the easiest part.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of work before the preparation.
And this, again, we're so used to, you know, Facebook Messenger, and even email would have been around back then in early 90s, but things are, communication so much easier now. Like, you're probably doing everything by phone, right?
Well, yeah, or email. You read my mind, because I was going to exactly that, because I was just thinking, the first time I was playing a show, I remember Bill Simmermaker was the bass player in the band.
Yeah.
He came to my front door here. Here's the tape, songs.
Like,
you know, we used to exchange cassette tapes.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd ask people for songs, what they want to do, and send me a tape, because you couldn't go...
Yeah, use Dropbox to download a file and stuff. And that.
So it's changed.
Yeah, for sure.
It was so much easier once all that came along. I used Dropbox so much.
Yeah, for sure.
And you can hunt up a song, where years ago you had to try to get it on tape, or you'd have to go buy the record or something.
Yep.
And so it's changed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's made the job easier. The work is behind the scenes, but again, working with the people in that is so nice.
Yeah, well, it's gratifying. You meet so many people. Like, because up until now, you played in all these different bands, and you met a lot of local or Southern Ontario people, but now it's probably expanded to maybe traveling musicians and singers.
Yeah, we were able to hire people. Paul Weber, Larry Mercy, Harold McIntyre, Marie Bottrell, you know, some of which I'd worked with before. It gave me reason to call them and say, hey, you want to be on this show? And
it
gave me a chance to play. I'd played with Marie before, for example. I'd played with Carol Baker.
Really?
With Larry Mercy. And Larry recommended me to play with Carol. One Labor Day weekend show down near Belleville, I think it was, because her steel player, Steve Smith, was gone to the steel guitar convention in St. Louis.
Okay.
So Larry recommended me. It was funny. I'm getting off track from the barn dance, but it's interesting because I never met Carol. I knew who she was and her husband, John. But I went to their house in Guelph and figured I'd be traveling with them. And within the first minute, John said, okay, here's keys for that van out there. You're driving that one down and you have to pick up the bass player and the drummer. And bass player was Greg Smith, who I had met a bit. His brother is a great steel player, Steve Smith. The drummer was Ed Hamm. And I had met John Hamm in London with Joyce Simone years before that.
Yeah. That's neat.
So we had good talk in that, played the one show. And then we went to Ottawa one time, Larry Mercy and Carol Baker show that Larry put together.
Good for you. So,
never had her on the barn dance, though, because she's used to working with her own band, because she's got so many arrangements and medleys. It was a lot of work. I remember I got in my binder sitting here, all handwritten. I didn't use computers back then.
All the changes and everything.
Yeah. And Carol had this all written out and sent it to me. Yep. Real nice letter, covering letter.
Okay.
And so it was interesting.
Let's hear another song that Doug was asked to do some studio work on. This is Bill Murray from Stratford singing the 1972 Mel Street classic, Borrowed Angel. I reached out to Bill recently, and he's interested in telling his musical story to you on Musicians FAQ in the coming weeks, so please stay tuned for that. So here's Bill Murray with Borrowed Angel.
Her fingers feel so gentle with her hand in mine.
But yeah, the Barn Dance gave me the opportunity to work with some different people, including, you know, the Ernie Kings and Earl Haywoods, some of the original people.
Yeah, for sure.
Which was really neat.
Yeah, the neat thing, too, I think we might have mentioned this before, too, is you have to be quick on your toes, too, because every week if you have a different performer, you know, you have to learn their stuff really fast, and they might throw a curveball at you and add a song or something that you weren't ready for. And
they'd send a recording.
Yeah,
I didn't mean they'd do it like a recording. You know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So there was lots of things.
Yeah.
Have to be quick on your feet, you know, part of the fun. But we had a good core group of guys.
I bet.
That's where I, as I said, I ran into Grant Haywood again. And once we got from two bands down to one, because there wasn't much demand for the Saturday night show and dance afterwards. It was more we were finding if you booked a Sunday afternoon concert, because people were older, they liked to drive in the daytime, and a lot of them didn't dance much anymore or whatever. We'd be able to do it in a theater or a community center on a Sunday afternoon and do quite well.
Okay.
And it was easier than to just have one band.
And this is generally just in Wingham, or were you?
No, we would travel.
All over the
but
place?
But mostly southwestern Ontario.
Okay.
It was around Wingham and a lot of those places. We branched out a bit more. We got the other side of London with a few shows and that. I've often thought, and maybe in the future if we can keep it going, we might try to go into theaters a little more.
Yeah, for sure.
One show and then go a bunch of different theaters, where now it's a bunch of different places and every show is different, where you can't get it all well rehearsed. You just rehearse the day of the show.
Because it'd be good if you had, once you have that that performer and that, you know, you've learned everything. It'd be good to play three or four shows just like that.
And really get it tight. Where now we do it the same day. Get there at 10 o'clock set up and 11 to 1 we rehearse, then do the show 2 to 4:30 type thing. It works, but I've had a good core group of guys.
That's
you know,
great.
If you keep the same musicians, it helps. And Grant has been in that band for a long
for
time.
Sure.
He was there before I was. And George Lonsberry was on guitar for quite a few years, and now Fred Lewis is.
Okay.
Mike Slonway, a great fiddle player.
Yep.
He has passed away. Eventually replaced him by Bill Norris. And now a young fiddle player named Ian Leith, because Bill decided to retire. And Ian's only done a handful of jobs with us. This year we had all our shows canceled.
Oh, it's a shame.
But, and Al Alderson on bass, I guess I didn't mention him.
Okay.
So it's been a good core group with not a lot of change. And you can look at each other and know what's happening.
Yeah, like that's the nice thing about, especially a bass player and a drummer. They, once they jive together, you know, you got a tight rhythm section. It makes everything easier.
And it allowed us, especially George, Al, Grant, and I, to go and work with different people. As the Barn Dance band, but just work with them at various venues.
Yeah, or even studio work, too. Like, just say if one of the four of you got a lead on a studio project, you'd probably draw the other guys in.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I have produced an album for a couple, Tom and Rose Merrigan. Grant and I co-produced that.
Yeah.
And it was basically those same musicians we talked about.
Yeah, for sure.
Augmented in some cases, whatever, but because we added banjo and accordion on one song, too.
Yeah.
It was a good core group for various things.
Yeah.
Including the Haywood Family album. You know, it was most of those same players.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But it was neat because one other thing that the Barn Dance did was they tried to promote local people. You know, if we were going to Mount Forest for a show, we'd say, is there anybody in the area that we should have on the show?
Okay.
Or anybody young starting out? So we got some new young performers
really?
That I've watched grow over
That's
the years.
Neat. Okay.
Yeah, and I think of Crystal Gage. I don't know if you've heard the name.
I'm not sure about that.
She phoned me when she was in her teens. She lives in Windsor area, still does. Great performer. But she phoned and said, heard you're with the Barn Dance and I'd like to get on the show. And I didn't know her from Adam, never heard her. And I used to try to audition people if I didn't know them, but it's hard sometimes too.
Yeah.
But just the passion and the way she talked about it, I just somehow knew I had to have her on the show.
Okay.
And my younger brother sings too. And so I booked them for, this was over the winter, and I booked them for one of the upcoming shows the next year. And she turned out to be just a great performer. And she's gone, she goes to Florida every year pretty much now.
Yeah.
This year again, the exception, I guess. And, you know, for the campers down there, she tours around.
Okay. She's Crystal Gage.
Yes.
Okay.
And she since married Ryan St. Dennis, who's a fiddle player.
Okay.
And so she might use Crystal St. Dennis sometimes, but Crystal Gage is her stage name, basically. She's done a lot of recording.
Really?
Showing that there was a Cross Canada karaoke singing contest for country karaoke.
Okay.
She won that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's just bubbly. She's born to entertain.
That's great. Good for you. It's nice though that, again, you're promoting local people and getting their name out there.
And that one came to me, and, you know, it just worked out well.
Yeah.
Here's Doug Dietrich playing steel on the 1980 Red Steel hit, three-chord country song. Al Widmeyer singing lead vocals on this one.
Don't you dare put a quarter in the jukebox. If you don't intend to play a country song, when you push them buttons, just make sure it's Merle or Mo or Willie, someone that I can cry with all night long.
Greg and Earl Freese from the Chaparrals, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.
Another young girl, Naomi Bristow. She was about 9 years old, and she was at the Blythe Campo, which the Barn Dance has been doing. This year would have been 22nd or 3rd year. And she got up on the Friday night open stage. That was always popular. And they had a backup band, just for that purpose.
Yeah.
Not real
promotion,
but anyway, she had learned to yodel on her own. And she wanted to do Cowboy Sweetheart, which was a yodeling song. And she was just having trouble getting started. The band couldn't fall into her tempo. And she was kind of in tears on the stage. And I was standing back at the boards. I was in the arena there. And thought, should I go up? I know what she's trying to do, but I don't know if I'll get it. I might not help, and it might make it worse even. So I didn't. I just stayed away. And she got through the song, sort of, and she came off stage, and her mom was there, and she was crying, and they went out the back door. So I headed around the outside of the arena and met her in the parking lot. And she's been doing barn dance shows ever since, because I could tell she could sing. And so she was 9 or 10 when she first did a barn dance in sort of the following year. And she used us as a backup band as she was growing in her career, and she's been on RFD TV in the States.
Okay.
And she's done remarkably well. That's she had about 100 shows canceled this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a big part about music, though, is just get, you know, because everybody's had flops on stage where something, you know, you've had a horrible experience, but you just keep on going, and that's what it's all about.
The pros react, somehow get out of it.
Yeah, for sure. Good stuff.
Yeah, there's been some train wrecks on our shows, but usually it goes pretty smooth.
Yeah.
And as the band gets more used to each other, I think we've become more professional. We have an MC that's just amazing, too, Jim Swan, and he keeps it going in between. And we'll feature the band. We've been doing medleys lately, the last few years, pick an artist like George Strait, George Jones, and do maybe 8 to 10 minutes medley featuring the band. Everybody sing. I don't sing much, but I'll sing one or two songs in that.
Yeah.
last year we did Tom Brumley, a steel player for Buck Owens. We did that medley.
Okay.
But he played with Dwight Yoakam for I Sang Dixie.
Oh, yeah.
He was famous for Together Again with Buck Owens and some instrumentals. So we just worked all those things out. And our MC would just kind of narrate it as it went along.
Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah. And he would even do some songs like No Charge or Old Shep, you know, the recitation type things. So, and we have some comedy from time to time.
Okay, that's neat.
Ventriloquist, John Heeman, has been on the show many years.
Yeah.
So it's a good all-around music, entertainment. It's kind of a Grand Ole Opry type show.
We're going to hear some studio work Doug did with Jimmy Fair. Jimmy was a recording artist, had radio and TV shows in the Windsor area, and was a regular at the Wheeling, West Virginia Jamboree. Here is Don't Touch Me, written by Hank Cochran.
Your hand is like a torch. Each time you touch me, and the look in your eyes pulls me apart. Don't open the door to heaven if I can't come in. Don't touch me, don't love me, sweetheart. Your kiss is like a drink when I'm thirsty. Oh, when I'm thirsty for you with all my heart. Don't love me for an act as though we've never kissed. Don't touch me, don't love me, sweetheart. Something that you might take away to have you and lose you wouldn't be smart on my part. Don't open the door to heaven if I can't. Don't touch me, don't love me, sweetheart.
Russ Worm from Kitchener, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS RadioWaterloo.ca.
So why don't you tell me a little bit more about the Barn Dance Society then?
Okay, yeah, it's as I said, was established in the mid-90s, but it's based on the original barn dance, okay. Traveling Barn Dance, which started like in 1937 with shows or music that was played at the CKNX radio station. And then they started traveling with it and became Canada's largest traveling barn dance. Yep. And they would do Saturday night broadcasts at various locations. So they'd do a show and a dance afterwards. And that was a big event. And that went from 1937 till the early 60s. And put Wingham on the map to a great extent.
Oh, yeah,
became
sure.
almost like a Nashville North. But anyway, that kept going for a long time. And then as TV became, and it was new, invented, yeah. and became popular, they switched to doing TV shows on the CKNX TV station. And the dances and shows kind of fell by the wayside. And those shows went to the early 80s. And that's where even a young Shania Twain, or Eileen Twain at that time, I think she was 13 or 14 years old, made one appearance on this weekly TV
That's
show.
Great. Wow.
Yeah. So
okay.
Barn Dance Society was then established in the mid-90s. Earl Haywood spearheading it, as yep. I think we've talked
okay,
about
yep.
before. Put it together sort of to honor the original members and to promote traditional country music.
Okay.
And that's been the objective of that society ever since. Another interesting thing that they do to help promote this music and honor it is they established a Pioneer Award, which originally was given to some of the older people, like Earl himself would have received
yep.
the award at
okay.
some point in time. Ernie King.
Yeah, I was just going to mention Ernie King, yeah.
Ward Allen, who was fiddle player, famous for Maple Sugar. He received it, a lot of the original ones. And then we gradually, through the years, brought it up more to date to where we got into doing some of the band members, too. Ron Coldheart from Stratford was on some of the TV shows. Grant Haywood,
yep.
his father was
yep, okay.
instrumental in it.
Yep.
Grant was playing with it and writing the Barn Dance Journal, as he still does. I was honored in 2005 to get one myself.
Well, you certainly deserve it.
Well, it's a,
yep.
a bit of the onstage part and behind the scenes.
Yeah. Okay.
And when I say behind the scenes, we have a lot of people that are involved with the society. It's a board of directors of 14 people. And we have monthly meetings, and we try to. Weather sometimes doesn't permit it, or COVID kind of... Anyway, that organization is in place, and two people who have been very active in promoting the Barn Dance Society are Gordon Ruth Baxter. She is the president of the organization, and he's the treasurer, and they've been doing it for a number of
That's
years.
Great. Yep.
And they're just tirelessly promoting
yeah,
it and arranging. Yes, well put.
Oh,
and you know, they help organize the Blythe camp out, things like that. So we actually gave them what we call a Builder's Award because they're helping build and promote
yeah,
just
sure.
as much.
Yep.
And we gave similar Builder's Award to our sound guys, Wayne Grieve and Scott Taylor. They've been with the Barn Dance since late 90s. Well, pretty
yep.
much the whole
okay.
time the society has been established. And so when I go to a venue, I know they're set up and ready to go,
oh,
ready
yeah.
to rehearse with us.
That's great.
It's a good working relationship like everything else. What we also... head was sort of, I'll say, some more famous type people who either got a start or did one show or something
yep.
with the Barn Dance that we've given awards to in the last several years. Larry Mercy and his
oh,
brothers got
yep.
An award as a group. Larry got his start when he was probably in his teens, too, on the Barn Dance and still does shows for us, as
okay.
I've mentioned before. So he and his brothers nationally received award. George Hamilton IV for our 15th Blythe anniversary.
Okay.
Actually phoned him in Nashville, and he was willing to come. He performed on the Saturday Night Show in Blythe, and we presented the award to him then. He did some songs by himself, just on guitar,
and
then brought the band up, though, and we did Abilene with him, you know,
okay.
his one big hit. So, and then he did the gospel show for me the next morning,
Great.
Too.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that was interesting. And he drove all the way from Nashville, and he was in his 60s,
okay.
oh, probably 70s by then. And all the way from Nashville by himself up to Blythe. We did that award with him. We did Gordy Tapp.
Okay, yeah.
We did it at a show at Maryhill because he used to stop in at Maryhill at the commercial because he knew Paul over the years too. and just sit in the audience and enjoy the music.
That's
but
great.
We got him to come and receive this award. And for that show, Paul and I dressed up, I don't know if you remember the Hee Haw TV show.
Yeah, for sure.
With Archie and Gordy Tapp doing
okay.
We met another.
Okay.
We dressed up. And Paul had the overalls we had the hats and the pitchfork. And I wrote a special verse to honor Gordy Tapp to present this award. And we sang that.
Oh, wow.
And Gordy accepted his award. And then he said, you know, I wrote most of those little songs, whatever you want to call them, for that particular part of the Hee Haw show. Do you mind if I sing a few? And so he sang with us.
That's great.
He did a few of them. It was great.
Yeah.
Tommy Hunter, we just two or three years ago.
We
had him just to give him an award. I think he was involved many years ago that he was on the show. Now he didn't want to sing anymore, but he came to accept the award.
Okay.
And it happened to be Jim Swan, our MC's, birthday. I didn't ask Tommy to sing because I thought, no, he doesn't want to, and he likes to have his own band or be rehearsed.
Yes.
But he talked, accepted his award, and he turned around to me and said, give me a, I think it was a G chord.
Yeah.
I'll say G. Give me a G chord. I thought, he's going to sing. Didn't know what was coming.
Yeah.
But he sang Happy Birthday.
Oh, okay.
He led
nice
the crowd
yeah.
in Happy Birthday
that's
for Jim
awesome.
Swan.
Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, and remember the song at the end, Traveling Man?
Okay, if I heard it, I should almost.
He used to have his guitar leaning against the stool and he'd walk away. I am a traveling man.
Okay.
So when he walked off stage in Blythe after getting the award and after singing Happy Birthday, I had arranged with the band we'd play that. So I played it instrumentally.
That's great.
And I was hoping he would start to sing, but
yeah.
no. he walked off stage.
Yeah, that's okay. At least that was nice you got him on. But it's good that you use whatever means you have to get to honor people and, you know.
And that's what I really value over the years. The friendships, relationships, using them isn't really the right word, but sometimes you're able to call on them and it helps.
For sure.
Here's Doug helping out on the Merle Haggard classic, Working Man Blues. This is sung by Bill Simmermaker, and it also features Bill's son Chris playing a lead guitar solo along with the Barn Dance Band.
Well, it's a big job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. I've been a working man, dang near all my life, and keep on working. As long as my 2 hands are fit to use. We're gonna drink a little beer in a tavern, cry a little bit of these working man blues. Well, I keep my nose to the grindstone and work hard every day. Might get a little tired on the weekends after I draw my pay, but keep on working. Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew. We're gonna drink a little beer in a tavern, cry a little bit of these working man blues. Here we go.
Well,
Shania Twain was on a show when she was really young.
Yeah, you said, what, 13 years old or something?
Yeah, 13 or 14,
that's amazing.
I believe.
Okay.
And through a connection, her, I think his cousin, who I've seen with her on a TV show.
Okay.
But he used to play in Joe Firth's band.
Really? Okay.
And I met him once. And so I, through Joe, got him to contact Shania and just say, we'd like to give you this Pioneer Award. My idea was that we'd send her the award and she would just do a little video on her phone or something, thanking us and accepting it. And she agreed to that. Yeah, she's going to do it, just, you know, and he even said first she did one, but then she could do a better one. So she scrapped that one. But it ended up, I never did get it. So we did something, you know, honoring her there at the show and presenting the award. Had pictures on a,
that's great,
a video of her. But she did send an email to thank us for it. And I guess the other real famous one was Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, wow. You're kidding.
Again, this was, and I don't want to say I'm using my connections. It's so many good friends that I have built over the years that helped me. As we've talked before, Pee Wee or Ed Ringwald played steel for Gordon Lightfoot for 16 years. So I asked him if I could maybe after a show at Cinerama or something like that, go and present an award to him. Gordon agreed to it. So he was at Casinorama, and so I was going to get behind stage.
Yep.
They arranged that, but I had to get tickets on my own. It was all sold out.
Oh, are you kidding?
But that's where another good friend, Sue Weber, Paul's sister, she threw casinos and running bus trips. So she actually got two tickets for my wife and I and herself, and we sat and watched the show. And afterwards, we went back and went through and presented this award. So we videotaped that.
Okay, that's
his
nice.
His guy back there held the... My wife was going to video, and he said, no, she can get in the picture with you. And he took the video.
So how many years ago would this have been then?
I think it was 2017.
Oh, so not that long ago then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It's funny how you forget, 17 or 18, probably 17.
Yeah.
So we were able to play that video at the show.
Good for you.
When
that's,
we presented
that's
it.
Amazing.
So, and that's, I think it's on our website, or a few years ago, we started another Heritage Award to start with some of the younger performers.
Okay.
We did a couple band members. We'll say newer band members, Al Alderson, who I've mentioned throughout here, and Fred Lewis. They're new to the barn dance in some respects, but they've been with us over 10 years already, too.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're new veterans. And we also took some of the other younger people like Naomi Bristow, Crystal Gage, Kylie Jo Masson, Lindsay Beckett. I think those are the ones who have received this Heritage Award. And they're very young, and their careers are just starting, and they're still doing the traditional type country music. So they're honoring the type of objective
just keep,
we have.
Going.
Yeah, so
that's great.
So it was good.
We're just about out of time. Stay tuned for part 3 when Doug Dietrich talks about the Barn Dance Museum, his extensive studio work, and playing with many bands, tribute acts, the Men of Steel shows, and the never-ending support from his wife that allowed him to pursue his music career for so many years. We're going to leave off with a Kevin Westphal original that Doug played steel on. This is called Canadian Land. Until next time, it's Steve Todd, and thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ.
Well, holiday time is a-coming, and I'll soon be on the go. I can't afford to roam too far from home with the dollar down real low. I won't lose $40 on $100. Not with my holiday plan. I'm packing my bags, taking these white pegs, traveling Canadian land. With the bears and the rocks, and the birds and the bees, and the moose and the fox, and the tall pine trees, where a Polly Looney on one leg can still stand. I won't lose $40 on $100. Not with my holiday plan. I'll be packing my bags, taking these white pegs, traveling Canadian land. Trailer, or better yet, a Winnebago, and I'll see the pretty of every town and city as I tour Ontario. I might head out west through the prairies, or Quebec out to Newfoundland. Why lose $40 on $100 when you can travel on Canadian land?
with the bears and the rocks and the birds and the bees and the moose and the fox and the tall pine trees, where I thought I'd loony on one leg and still stand. I won't lose $40 on a hundred, not with my holiday plan. I'll be packing my bags, taking these white bags and traveling Canadian land. I won't lose $40 on a hundred, oh, not with my holiday plan. I'll be packing my bags, taking these white legs and traveling Canadian land. I'll be packing my bags, taking these white legs and traveling Canadian land. Oh, wait, here I'm sure it's nice this time of year.
Hi, I'm Doug Dietrich from Waterloo, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.